Good crowd, good looking crowd today, and I'm so thankful you're here. I started a series just last week entitled The Forgotten Way. I asked the question if any of you knew of Ted Decker, who's a Christian fiction writer, and many of you raised your hand. He has come to the place where he's trying to rid himself of religion, of legalism and that kind of thing, and understand what Christ has already done, now operate out of that freedom. And he's written a book entitled The Forgotten Way. He actually came up with a study. Miss Glenda, right down front, raise your hand right quick. She's been reading this book, and she said it's addictive. She said, I had to just put it down where I could go to work. But anyway, she said it's a powerful book. We do have a few available for sale out in the bookstore. I ran out last week, and we got a few more in. But today's message is entitled, You Are. Everybody listening, say amen. I want you to hear this, because you're going to hear it from Scripture, you're going to hear it from the Holy Spirit, you got a choice whether you're going to believe it or not, okay? You are light in Christ. Last week, we looked at the topic of how magnificent your Father is, talking about God, and to launch us into today's message, I really feel that it's important that I recover two or three of the Scriptures that we talked about. And the first one we looked at was in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. If you look at that on the screen, now this is very important. Even before he made the world. Now question, were you before the world was made? Okay, you weren't. I'll help you with the tough ones. It was not a trick question. Okay, you were not even born yet before the world was made. Now watch what God did before you were ever born. Here we go. God loved us. I underlined that word us because it includes everybody, and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. This happened without your consent, by the way. You think it's all about you and what you can do for God? I'm telling you, the more we know how much God has done for us, the more we now want to do for God, not for brownie points, not for favor, but because we have His favor already. Now this is transforming today. This happened with or without our consent. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's eyes and choice, He chose to make us holy and without fault in His eyes. Now we're going to talk about how He did that. Okay? Look at verse 5. God decided in advance, this is the same little passage here, God decided in advance to adopt us, that's you and me, everybody, into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. There's the key. It ain't about works. It ain't about what you do. It ain't about stopping this behavior. It ain't about starting that behavior. It happened through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Now listen, this verse changed my life. I was raised pretty tough. My brother's here, and we were raised kind of tough in life, and but anyway, we didn't always feel accepted. Our parents, as good as you had as parents, they fell way, 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 way short of displaying what the Father says about you and thinks about you. I'm telling you, He has done way more than you can realize, so you have to get past this barrier. You may have been told that you will never amount to anything. You may have been told that you're going to mess up, you're just a mistake. You've got to get past all that, and starts in the mind. Brother Shane shared with me how he believes it starts in the mind, and I believe it does too. You've got to begin to take those thoughts captive of the past and begin to believe what God says about you right now. Actually believe what He said about you before you were ever born. This is what this is talking about here on the screen. That He chose us, it's what He wanted to do, and He did it because He so loved you. John 3:16, you've all heard it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Folks, it's been done. It's just, our part is just to by faith believe it now and walk in it. Well, how did God adopt humanity? How did God make us holy and without fault in His eyes? Well, we know the answer is Jesus Christ. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 14, right before y'all's key verse of 5:17. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, would you say all?
All.
Do you believe Christ died for all?
Amen.
Okay, I don't think average Christianity would say they disagree with this. But now here's the part, many don't, they stop here and they don't believe what I'm about to say or know what God's about to say. We also believe that we all died. This same all is the same all as in the first part of the verse. That we all died to our old self. Well, preacher, you just don't know my behavior. Hey, you don't know Carlton's behavior either. We don't always live up to who we are and what Christ has done. That's what Satan's up to in blinding us. We're going to see straight from Scripture today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam all died, in other words, we know that Adam blew it for all of us, right? We didn't get a vote in Adam blowing it for all of us. In the same way, we didn't get a vote when Christ came in and totally redeemed us either. You see, we think a lot of this happens at the moment we believe. No, your belief does not make what happened before the foundation of the world true. It's already happened whether you believe it or not. Amen. There's so much about you that God says about you that you ain't got a clue. And that's part of my responsibility is to teach you what Christ has done. Now, if we all died in Christ, even so in Christ, all died in Adam. We all died with Christ. We know that we've been crucified with Christ. This verse says, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Here's the question. When did this occur? You see, this is understanding the finished work of the cross in a deeper way. Jesus doesn't just take a person's old self and bury him or her at the moment they believe. This happened before we, first of all, by faith even understood it. It happened before we, by faith, believed it and received it. You see, our believing and receiving it doesn't make the work of Jesus complete. I want to say that again. Our believing and receiving doesn't make the finished work of Christ complete. That's helping Jesus out. That's religion. We think it's about believing in Christ and now we got to do this and got to do that and all that kind of stuff. No, it's already been done. Amen. We've got to, by faith, begin to understand it and believe it. I'm not preaching Carlton, I'm preaching the Bible, okay? Amen. If you want to argue, take it up with the Bible and the Holy Spirit, all right? Amen. Now, this is the good news. I've been guilty in my past of preaching the good news like this. It's all about Jesus, nothing you can do to be saved, nothing you can do to stay saved. Then I'll turn right around out of the same mouth, but if you don't do this, you don't read your Bible, you don't come to church, and you don't do all these things, you cannot remain in fellowship with God, and you cannot remain right with God. I'm telling you, folks, that is the lie of Satan, and it's blinding people. And I was on that roller coaster for the majority of my Christian life. And thank God he took me off the religion roller coaster and put me on the grace train, and I'm not getting off. All right? Now, you have a choice whether you're going to do it or not, okay? All right, this happened to everyone. Well, what's the problem then? Why don't we all walk in it? Why don't we, if it's such good news, why don't we believe it? Well, there's one problem. We got an adversary out there called the devil, Satan, and he works through a lot of things. And I want you to see what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds, Brother Shane, of those who don't believe. He's blind. I got news for you. He's blinding the minds of those who do believe too. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Satan has blinded us, folks. He has blinded us sometimes with the church. I've been guilty of being used by Satan to blind the eyes of people that I was talking to. Because I didn't know any better. Thank God he's teaching me some things. And I hope a year from now I look back upon this day and say, wow, I didn't even understand it back then. That's what growing in grace is all about. Religion won't let you do that. Denominations sometimes won't let you do that. You can't think outside of what they're teaching or you'll be ostracized. I'm telling you, when you get under the power of the Holy Spirit, you kind of don't care. I want you to take the Holy Spirit. If it isn't resonating in your heart, you go with the Holy Spirit and not Carlton Rivers. I give you permission to disagree. You ain't heard that in many churches, I bet. I can disagree with the preacher. Yeah, you can. That's fine. But here's all I do encourage you to do. Just don't shut it down because that ain't what you've been taught. That's right. I'm telling you, that has blinded my eyes. That's what I mean when Satan sometimes uses the church and those that are teaching you to blind you really to what Christ has already done for you. And so that's why it's important for you to be in the Word yourself. You be saying, Holy Spirit, I'm your teacher. I thought I knew all this. I had to drop about everything I thought I knew. Now I've opened myself up to be teachable and pliable in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, I've learned so much. I'm a visual person, and I was going to bring a plant this morning. I forgot it, but I was out watering some plants, and you know we've going through a pretty good drought here, and we had planted some of these Leland cypresses in between my neighbor, not because he's a bad neighbor, he and I agreed on it, and we just don't want to see each other when we don't want to, okay? All right. But anyway, we planted about 15 of these Leland cypresses. You know, they grow tall and kind of create a barrier, and I was out with my water hose yesterday, and I was soaking the plants. I mean, I'm talking 30 seconds with a wide open water hose at least. I'm soaking it as much as I could. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, this is what you're going to do to them Sunday. You're going to feed them with a fire hose of grace. And I tell you, and he said, you want to know, this wasn't audibly. I've never heard God speak audibly. I don't know if I could handle it. Some of you may have. It was just that inner still voice that said, you know what you used to preach and what a lot of folks are getting today? I didn't have a little spray bottle in my hand. And I was shooting a little water on the leaves of the plant, you know, just to give it a little moisture, knowing that that ain't going to do a whole lot. The key is to get to the root. And I said, you know what you used to do and what a lot of folks are getting in church today? They're just coming in and they just got a little mist going on. They're just spraying a little mist. Give them a little bit of grace and a little bit of love. But then they hammer them with a law. Romans 6:14 says we're not under law, we're under grace. We don't have a clue what that means. I'm learning. But he said, most folks are getting just a little bit of my love. And he said, thank you for pulling out the hose and going for the root. We prayed just last week in Ephesians chapter 3 that we would grow in the grace and the love of God. That we would be rooted and grounded in His love and grace. You see, this is what grace teaching does. It gets to the root. We've been accused of being very shallow. Oh, we got to get down to where preacher live. We got to tell them how to live this and do that and don't do that. Hey, it ain't my job to teach you how to live. It's the Holy Spirit's job to teach you. My job is to point you to Him and understand what He's done. Now you begin to listen to Him, and it comes from the inside out. I can fix my behavior temporarily on the outside, but I'm telling you, I'll fall back into it every time when it doesn't come from the inside of the heart. Now, y'all sidetracked me. Where did we go? All right, look at verse 5. Still in 2 Corinthians, it says, Satan has blinded us. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. Listen. The more you hear people preaching about what you're to be doing, about what you're not to be doing, the more that is law preaching. And Paul is saying here, that is not what we're to be doing. We preach, here, what are we to preach? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said it in another way, but he said, we preach that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light, would you say light? Now, you thought, well, preacher, you've been talking about we're the light of in Christ. I ain't heard you say much about light. Well, hang on. Here we go. Let there be light in darkness has made this light shine into our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We are aware of this light in Christ just a little bit, but I'm telling you, we ain't got a clue. I want to understand how big this light is. If I'm light in Christ that we're going to read about here in just a minute, you are light in Christ, and this light is big, I want to know how big. Because the more we see how big God is, the more we'll see how big we are in Him.
Amen.
Wow. This verse said that He has made this light shine in our hearts. Well, I don't feel like it. My behavior certainly doesn't look like it. Hey, can I set you free about something? Your behavior and what you feel like doesn't define you. Jesus Christ has defined you before the foundation of the world. Wow. You mean when I don't feel like it, when I blow it, I still need to understand my identity? That's not about all that? I said, that's exactly right. Look at verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4. We have this light shining in our hearts.
Well, that's just for those who believed.
Well, I'm telling you, you don't understand the Bible. Did I just not read in Ephesians where it says before the foundation of the world? Hang with me. I'm not saying everybody's a Christian. I'm not saying everybody's accepted it and received it and walked in it. But what I am saying is that you can't add to what Christ has already done. You can by faith believe what He's done and begin to benefit and walk in it. That's what Satan's doing. He's blinding people through churches, through people that just don't have a clue, and saying, well, you got to do all this to clean yourself up. No, Christ has already cleaned yourself up, and I'm going to prove that from Scripture too here in just a moment. But he says, we have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clays of jar containing this great treasure. In other words, we have this light, but we're unaware of it. This makes it clear, the Bible says there in the latter part of the verse, this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Jesus is light in us is like a great treasure. We go treasure hunting every Sunday here. We're exploring more and more what has the finished work of the cross done that I thought He was still yet to be done. I've stated this on Facebook, and you saw it last week. I think I said it last week. But I believe, now some of you are going to flare up here. I ask you not to shut it down until the rest of the message is over. Okay? Some of you are going to flare up here. I said last week that I believe that this little children's song that's entitled This Little Light of Mine does an injustice to who we are in Christ. Most of you know how it goes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hang with me. But before I explain what I'm talking about, I want you to see the video that we saw last week that Ted Decker put out, as he talks about this very issue. Now, let me explain. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, many of you know these verses. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him, talking about Christ. Now, here's the key verse in verse 4 and 5. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. Would you say everyone?
Everyone.
Verse 5, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Wow. You see, we think we're walking in darkness when the whole time we're not. Because God is light. Number two, in Him there is no darkness at all. And number three, this light is to everyone. Now friend, there's no darkness in you because your present and future sins have been forgiven and removed. Now I'll get back to that in just a moment. But here's the key verse of this message today. Because I've been saying you are light in Christ. Well, I'm not just making this up. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. You ought to meditate on this verse this week, especially when your behavior don't look like it, okay? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. See that, preacher? We got to walk in it. I agree. I'm not knocking that. I agree with you, okay? But hang with me. Paul is restating what he said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, where it says, Satan has blinded you. You couldn't see. You were walking in darkness, but now you see the truth. You see? He's saying the truth is, you are light in Christ. Now when you sin and you're not in darkness, why is that? It's because your sins have already been removed and forgiven. Psalm 103, this is another powerful transformation that has occurred in my life. I used to think that my sins being forgiven were one at a time when I could remember to receive them or to ask for them. But folks, Colossians 2 verses 13 and 14 says all sins have been forgiven. Psalm 103 verses 11 and 12 says He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Hebrews 10:17, I will remember your sins no more.
Amen.
Wow. Look it up. Study this out. Most of you received a book. I've got scripture after scripture in here that talks about this. And folks, I just hadn't heard this preached. What about 1 John 1:9? It says, if we confess our... I've got that covered in the book too, okay? That's a whole chapter, a long chapter. All right? Hebrews 10:17, I will remember your sins no more. Even when you sin now, you're not only in the light of Jesus, the Bible says you are light in Christ. If this verse, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8 is true, how can you be in darkness and out of fellowship with God when Jesus said you are light in Christ? You see, you being light in Christ has nothing to do with your behavior. It has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It has to do with what Jesus has done. Has done. Not is in the process of doing.
Amen.
This is so transforming. You cannot be in darkness when you are light in Jesus. Now don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we demonstrate the light of Jesus in our life. I'm talking, you've got to identify your person, who you are, and your behavior in two different settings. Your behavior doesn't define you. There ought to be amens all over this place if that's true. I'm telling you, I was taught my behavior defines me. I am what I do. I'm here to tell you that's not how God sees you. If we're what we do, friends, I'm telling you we're all in trouble. That's why Christ came. That's why He took that old self that we still are walking in the old flesh and we still have to deal with this kind of stuff. But He took our spirit man and our woman man, if you will, and He buried us with Christ. He said, I've got to get rid of that old. They can't do it. They can't confess enough. They can't come to the altar. They can't come and rededicate enough to get this done. God knew that before the foundation of the world. That's why we were all buried with Christ. We all been raised with Him. The question that arises is, are we raised with Christ at the moment we believe? Or did it happen before the foundation of the world like the Bible says? I hope I'm causing you to think and stretch you a little bit. You'll get in your Bible and you'll study this out for yourself. Wow. When our behavior doesn't line up with who we are in Christ, it doesn't change our identity in Him. Because our identity was put there between God the Father and Jesus Christ. They made a covenant. It's called the New Covenant of Grace. Hebrews 10 talks a lot about it. Hebrews 8 says the old covenant of if I try hard, then I can receive from God. Many of you are still being taught that if I'll just do my part, God will do His part. I'm telling you that's not biblical under the New Covenant of Grace. We're not under the old law. Look up Hebrews 8. Study this out. Wow. Jesus' method of getting our light to shine, our behavior to change, so other can see Jesus in our life, is to teach us who we are in Christ and understand that we are light in Christ all the time.
Amen.
Look at the verse on the screen one more time. Notice the first part. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Here is God's method of how to get your behavior to come around. Notice what He said first. He's talking about your identity. He said you are light in Christ. The world says, and the church teaches sometimes, well, if you'll just walk as children of the light, then you can be light in Jesus. Folks, that's not New Covenant teaching. We got to understand our identity first. Now we begin to believe it. We begin to walk in who we are. If I think my little light of Jesus is over here and I'm going to do the best I can, and I got just a little part of Jesus in me, then that's exactly what you're going to portray. But if you begin to believe that your light is huge because you are in Jesus, you are in the embodiment of light and grace and love, and that's who God is, friends, the more bigger you see God, the bigger you will love and show your light to other people. But if you think I'm just a little light over here, doing the best I can for Jesus, folks, that's not who you are. Jesus even said this. Let's look over at some more scripture. I promise I'm about finished. Hang with me. Notice Jesus' words. He said, you are the light of the world. Notice the identity again comes first. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Preacher, you saying works are not important, behavior is not important. I'm not saying that. I'm saying get the order right. Look at what he said. You are light of the world. Ephesians 5. You are light in Jesus Christ. Now, walk as children of light. Now, let your light so shine before men. I tell you what, I'm doing less for the Lord as far as what I used to do for and in the church. And I feel like I'm a much brighter light than I've ever been before. Why? Because I'm doing more for the Lord? Nope. I'm doing less. But you see, I'm not looking at ministry as something I do. Now watch it. I'm looking at ministry as who I am. And I hope it's coming out every day in my day-to-day activities. Amen. Yes, I come preach and I do some things that, quote, are ministry. But folks, we are the church. It's not about this building. I never will forget when we moved out of an older sanctuary, been there for a long time, and we'd outgrown it and moved into a family life center, something cool like this. Man, some people just thought I was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They call the church the building. Folks, the building has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
We're just meeting here because we're trying to be encouraged and grow in Jesus Christ. The church is going outside the doors when you leave today. Wow. That'll change some things, won't it? Remember these truths. Even when you sin, you're still light in Christ. You may be putting it under a basket where nobody can see it, but that doesn't change the fact that you're still light in Jesus. Even when you think you're a little light over here in the corner of the room, you're still light in Jesus Christ. Even when you feel like there's no light in you at all, you are still light in Jesus. The Bible stated that there is no darkness in the light itself. Well, if you are light, how can there be no darkness in you at all? Folks, that'd be like me telling this candle to quit shining and quit being the light. I can tell it all I want to. Quit shining! That's what Satan's doing to you. Could we dim the lights? Folks, I can put this light under this basket, and probably if the lights were on, you wouldn't even see it. Question. Is this light still just as bright as it ever was? That's what you need to remember this week. When you feel like you can't get it together, you can't get your light to shine, quit trying to make it shine and go back to the mind and begin to take those thoughts captive that Satan's throwing your way, and you say, hey, I am light in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, I and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. When you do acts that are unrighteous, you do things that are unkind, that does not change who you are. I'm telling you, this principle will change your life, and it has changed my life. Last quote, nothing can take away Christ's light within you because God Himself put it there. A few discussion questions. Just for our guests, we usually take 15, 20 minutes to talk about this, to disagree with the preacher. It's okay. I don't have a problem with that. You have a right to be wrong. You'll catch that in a minute. All right. Look at these questions. Do you believe the song, This Little Light of Mine, is true a representation of who we are in Christ? Why or why not? Number two, when a person sins and walks according to the flesh, is he still light in Christ? Number three, what is the key to walking as children of light? How can we avoid hiding our light under a basket?